yeah, it's genuine Christianity, just a real, true Christianity. And so, yeah, if we look at just the definition of genuine, words come to mind like authentic, real, true, honest comes up a lot, unquestionable, actual, and original. And then the opposite of that is of being genuine is sometimes being artificial, being false, counterfeit, and close to not the opposite, but sort of a little bit off, being generic, or even we use the word pirate parts when we refer to cars. We often use the word generic when we refer to medicine, but it's close to the original, and sometimes it does the job, and we're not sure, but over time, sometimes the original is actually better. So the question that was asked multiple times tonight, and that I want to ask again, is that when we meet together, when we come together in this place, are we absolutely honest and genuine in our love for Christ and his fellow believers? So we start with, are we finding the presence of the Lord? Are we here to worship him? Are we here just to find his presence? And also, very closely tied together, are we here for our brothers and sisters? Are we here to encourage, uplift, love? We're going to look at just briefly just loving our enemies, but it's also mainly about loving our family here, our household of believers here. And sometimes, as it came up in Tion, actually brought the prophetic word, saying sometimes we're ticking the boxes, we're bringing facades, we've got fronts, and brave faces. And sometimes we come to church, and the only two reasons, there are many more reasons, but the main two reasons would be to come and find the presence of the Lord, and secondly, to uplift and love each other extravagantly. So sometimes if we come with a brave face or a facade, or we kind of look like we're doing the thing, but we're not really there, we're not really looking to really worship the Lord, or we're not really looking to love our brothers, sometimes it's almost like we bring our generic self, or we bring a part that actually is similar to the original, but over time it actually fails us and it actually breaks as well. So we can't put on facades for long, we can't tick boxes for long, we have to show the realness and the trueness and the genuineness of our faith. Are we the same person Monday to Sunday? Or are we different when we sometimes in the workplace? Are we different when we running around outside? Or we're not living for Wednesdays and Sundays, but even if we were living for Wednesdays and Sundays, then when we are here, we're here to love our brothers and our sisters. We don't just roll into church. We don't just come and just, like we said, have pancakes, good coffee, good pat on the back, catch up on the sports, catch up on what's going on in life. There's actually a plan and a purpose of why we're actually coming here. And are we seeing the original true you when you actually walk through these doors? Is it the genuine part that we're actually seeing, and that you actually come just to find his presence and actually help us encourage one another? The second question, which came up today as well, so everything is just in the notes, is are we experiencing the presence of Jesus in our meetings? And in Scripture and Revelation, we're not going to turn there, but at one occasion, Jesus stood outside a church, a Christian church, and was knocking and asking to come in. He was not in the meeting. And in another part, also in Revelation, it refers to your meetings are doing more harm than good. But I believe that we have found the presence of the Lord. We found the presence of the Lord. Tonight, we've had a beautiful time over the last few weeks just finding his presence, is just as we navigate our way, as the Holy Spirit comes and transforms us and renews us and we seek his presence. I believe that we as a congregation are finding his presence. And we sang about it, religion and tradition can creep in. And we can actually do church quite well. We can actually learn how to do church. We can learn how to lead. We can learn how to elder. We can have a very good service. There can be lots of people. The numbers can look good. The worship can be great. The preach can be good. And we can enjoy one another. But we can actually learn to do that. So we need to make sure that every time we walk in these doors, that we are actually hungry for the presence of the Lord, and that we're actually hungry to actually serve and love and encourage our brothers and sisters that are amongst us. So we'll see in this passage of Scripture, we'll read Romans 12 verse 10 just now. In the same sentence, it refers to outdoing our brothers and sisters with honor and also brotherly affection or brotherly love. It literally is one short sentence, both are very, very intertwined. So I recently heard a story just to support what we've just been saying now. In a colleague's congregation and one of the 55 Josh Jens that are out there. And he recently said to us that he had been for almost 3 months in his congregation and he had not actually felt the presence of the Lord in the congregation. And that is actually quite sad. And in fact, he did say that they found the presence of the Lord twice in those 3 months, and they were almost so shocked they didn't actually know what to do with it or how to enjoy it and just go with the presence of the Lord. So we can actually just come and do this thing. We can actually lead you. We can sing songs. We can preach. We can do church, but actually we're here to find the presence of the Lord like it's come through very strongly tonight. So our primary focus today, that was a beautiful, rich passage of Scripture, and it's good to have public reading of Scripture, so I wanted to give you the full Scripture as we just dive in and take out the key verse, which will be Romans 12, verse 10, and that is, to love one another with brotherly affection and outdo one another in showing honor. So they're in the same sentence. Contained in the same verse and very interrelated, and this verse and the ones that follow on shortly afterwards are really outlining a life that is pleasing to God and what true Christianity is actually all about. And it's no surprise that love actually heads up this list, that love is ultimately what is important here. And we know that we need to love our Lord, your God, and we love our neighbor, and we love our enemies as well. So just briefly referring to verse 20 of that chapter, it says, to the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. So there we have an opportunity to love one another, but we also have an opportunity to love our neighbors. We have an opportunity to love our enemies. And when we bring acts of kindness to them and forgiveness and gentleness, it actually brings shame on them where they actually feel bad about the way that they might have treated you. But we respond in love and we actually love them as well. So Romans 12, 3 to 8, that's the middle section there. It's all about the gifts of grace. We're not going to be focusing on that. And that we as a body consists of many parts. And we're all graced with different gifts, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. We see it in 1 Corinthians 12 as well. Each and every one of you here has a part to play. Each and every one of you has a unique gift. And that when we bring them together, the body actually operates perfectly and efficiently. But there's two warnings here, and it's really evident in 1 Corinthians. We'll turn there just now. Firstly, do not think too highly of yourself, is the first warning. The second one is do not think of yourself too lowly or berate yourself. And we're instructed in that passage to use the gifts. So he says, don't think too highly of yourself. It's according to the faith that has been measured to you. But also, he does say, use the gift. So it's an encouragement that there is an action required. So we mustn't think too much of ourselves if we have one of the gifts that is actually a high-profile gift or was chatted about in Corinthians. Some of the gifts seem to have more profile. They seem to be the greater gifts. And we were then asked not to think too highly of ourselves because it had been measured to us in that measure. But in another measure, it has been given other gifts to other people. So, but don't, if you are gifted, don't hold back. It says that we must actually use the gifts. So in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 22 to 26, we'll turn there. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. They are needed. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. And this is the verse that I would have used earlier on when we were honoring Mike and Stella and Michael. If one member suffers, all suffer together. But if one member is honored, all rejoice together. And there was rejoicing because we're honoring people, and it brings rejoicing when we do honor people as well. So the greater honor is given to the parts that lack it. And if God does this, How do we view each other as well? Are we looking to the greater gifts? Are we looking to the prophets that are up here prophesying? Are we looking to the guy that's leading worship or the preacher like Stefan that's preaching? Or are we actually honoring the little gifts that are amongst us, the servants, the people making coffee, the people serving us in many, many different ways? There are so many gifts. People who are doing admin. Thank you, MJ, for helping us out in admin and rescuing me. And there's a joke that she's becoming my PA, but it's not true. I just give her a lot to do. So it might be true. But at the moment, she's in charge of buildings and banqueting and events and all sorts of funny things. So thank you, MJ. You're a gift administratively as well as up there on the worship stage and prophetically as well. Thank you. So when we actually honoring the gifts, we're actually honoring the grace gift that's given by Christ. It's not so much honoring the person. We're actually honoring the gift and Jesus that is within the person. So it's not, we're not all important and we're not honoring the person, but we're honoring the gift and we're actually honoring Jesus. So we are honoring Christ when we honor the gift that he graced within that person. So what is honor? Because we are encouraged to outdo each other in giving it. So outdo, outshine. In other words, we should all be trying to outdo one another and honor one another and honor the parts that need it. Some of the greater gifts, they don't need so much encouragement. They seem to be able to get the encouragement from what they're doing. But some of the rest of us actually need a little bit of encouragement and honor so that we can all function together. So honor is to show appreciation and admiration for one another. So it's very limited in the world we live in. It's quite opposite to the world we live in. So if we have a quick look at how the world is living, we'll have a look at 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 5. So this is very much in contrast to what we're doing at church. But understand this, that in the last days, there'll come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, and that came through prophetically earlier. Somebody said something about self on Zell, I think. Lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. So it's very much different to what we want to do in the church, where we're actually coming with honor, where we're putting down self, and then we're actually seeing the other person as more honorable, and we actually want to outdo them and give them the honor. Church is quite different in Ephesians 13, verse 1 to 2. We can just read that quickly if you've got it, Annie. Hebrews 13, 1 to 2. Hopefully we've got it. If we don't, we can move on. Okay, the chapter's basically headed sacrifices pleasing to God, and just like Romans 12, verse 10, it actually starts with let brotherly love continue, and it goes quickly after that into honoring your parents, obeying and honoring your leaders, and honoring your marriage bed. So it's quite opposite to what is going on in the previous passage we read. So the world is caught up in all that stuff, but we actually call to honor our parents. We are called to obey our leaders and honor our leaders. So Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, we are going to read that again, just that first part. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and pleasing. So I want to say that we can only honor and love our brothers if we are being transformed and renewed in our minds. We cannot do this in the flesh. It's very difficult. It's not very natural for us. The world is not doing it, but we need to be transformed and have renewed minds to be able to do this. We cannot attain it in the flesh. By renewing our minds, we become more sensitive to showing respect, acknowledging others' accomplishments, and demonstrating love by not being envious and jealous. Often there's little envy and jealousy that creeps in, or this comparison, and we need to acknowledge the accomplishments of others. And as we have our minds renewed and as we get transformed, we are more able to see that, and we're more able, with the help of the Spirit, to actually respect and acknowledge others' accomplishments and demonstrate love. We worship God by presenting ourselves as living sacrifices. We should be growing in His graces, and this is only through His empowering grace. So how are we doing with our kids, our spouse, our boss, our brothers and sisters? Are we honoring? Are we acknowledging their accomplishments? Are we demonstrating love? Are we not envious or jealous of when they accomplish something? So if we hone in a little bit on what honor is and how we can do this well. The meaning of honor is to lead the way before and show preference to others. So the idea is that believers are practicing honor, and this often is witnessed by outsiders and the world, and this is only possible through the Holy Spirit, relying on His enabling power, and not our own adequacy. We are not able to do it in the flesh. Our adequacy is not able to do this. In Greek, it's written in the middle voice, and I have no idea what that is until I looked it up. Didn't know it existed, but it was quite cool. And it basically indicates that the subject, being us, actually takes action, and they do the first steps in showing appreciation and admiration to others. So putting them first is what honor is all about. We must be willing and desirous for others to receive honor again. This is the very opposite to the world, and where there's very little honor, but only selfishness. If we are walking in the Spirit and truly devoted to one another in brotherly love, it'll be supernaturally easy to give preference and honor to one and each of us. So if we're walking in the Spirit and we're truly devoted to one another, it'll be supernaturally easy for us to give honor and preference to one another. So if we read in Philippians 2, verse 3 to 5, do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. So that depicts the ultimate humility and preference for others, not to be proud or consider yourself too highly. If we focus on others continually, it actually holds us in check from honoring ourselves too much. So if we show preference and honor often to others, it actually prevents us from actually honoring ourselves too much. Honor is also from another Greek word, theo, and it's where we get the word time from, and it refers to the worth or value or merit someone or something has. So we honor that which is precious with our time. So when we give of ourselves, when we give of our time, when we serve one another, that is actually honor as well. So if we look at true fellowship and brotherly love, which comes hand in hand with honor, as you said earlier, church can easily become a place of socialization, which of course we need, but New Testament fellowship goes far deeper than mere socialization. The coffee's great, the pat on the back's good, the catch-up of what's going on in the week is excellent, but it goes far deeper than that in New Testament fellowship. It takes place when we can lift up, build up, and brighten up each of our lives and just encourage one another on this journey. We're not going to turn to them, but in Galatians 5, it says we need to serve one another. That's Galatians 5, verse 13. In Ephesians 4, verse 32, it says forgive as we are forgiven. And in Galatians 6, verse 2, it says to bear with each other's burdens. So from early church days, believers like us have gathered to consider one another and to stir up love and good works. Let's read that in Hebrews 10. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So we're getting together so that we can encourage and consider and stir one another up to love and good works. So we actually make every effort to be together, and when you're not here, you're missed, because you actually play a vital part of the gifting that God has actually given you that makes the body so harmonious. And so when we're together, we come and we encourage, and we actually give ourselves and stir one another up to love and good works. So genuine fellowship takes place when we offer encouragement to our brothers, pray for them, and confess our sins and our weaknesses to one another. We have a bond of faith and love with our fellow believers. It's almost like a kinship, and therefore we receive mutual strength. We actually feed off one another. We mutually get strengthened. Christian fellowship builds us up and binds us together in unity. And where there's unity, God commands a blessing, and he draws near to us with his presence. The Greek word philadelphos is love for brothers. So it's not only your blood family that we have love for, but it's actually our brothers and sisters in this unique Christian family that we have. And Philadelphia manifests itself in acts of kindness, like we read in Galatians 6 verse 10, and describes love which calls for an affection that is similar to our own family. So the affection and the love that we have in our own family that is encapsulated here in the meeting place where we meet as Christians, as brothers, as we love and encourage one another. This calls for continuous emphasis on love for our fellow brethren. So the early church, as we know, was a real mixed bunch of Jews and Gentiles, male and female, slave, free man, and Paul emphasizes just brotherly love and the need for it to continually increase as many as 19 times in the book of Thessalonians. So we often encourage to love each other, serve one another, and do it even more. So when we are doing it, we do it even more and more. And that is encouraged in the book of Thessalonians. So as I draw to a close, I want to go back to some statement that we made earlier that we'd like to revisit, and that we can only honor and love and it's made possible through the renewing of our minds daily. This requires transformation by the Holy Spirit. So what does it look like when we renew our minds in Romans 12? Simply, it is interpreting life through the lens of Scripture, the Word, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rather than through our lens of brokenness, trauma, opinion, preference. We actually look into the Word. We actually are relying on the Holy Spirit and the inspiration just to reveal and renew our minds and transform us. The Holy Spirit renews our minds to be like the mind of Christ. He convicts us of sin and leads us through his kindness to repentance. So he wipes out all our dirt and he bears good fruit. In Ephesians 4, verse 20 to 24, we'll read about putting on our new self and taking off the old self. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. So putting on new self and be made new in our attitude of our minds. Colossians 3, we won't turn there. It said, set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. So conforming to the world for us is actually quite useless and a waste of time. The key to not wasting our lives is actually to be transformed and renewed in our minds. So transformation, it's not switching the to-do lists of like we were in the flesh, now we're under the law, but it's rather allowing the fruit of the Spirit to actually replace the flesh and transform us and renew us. So the fruit of the Holy Spirit replaces flesh with love and joy and patience and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. So it's his power and transformation through our faith in the Lord Jesus that enables us to be sufficient ministers of this new covenant. So it's very profound. It's bought by his blood, and we actually change by the Holy Spirit from the inside out. We are free in Christ, and in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17 to 18, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And I want to just end with something that's just a fascinating quote. It says, when we are transformed in Christ, you love to do what you ought to do. I'm going to repeat that. You love to do what you ought to do. And this is the acceptable and pleasing will of God, that we are doing what we ought to do and that we actually love to do that as well. So I just wanted to encourage us today that we are here to actually outdo each other with honor. Like, we're looking to honor your neighbor, your brother, your sister, and we're trying to give preference to those who are alongside us, and we're always trying to give them and serve them and love them. And in the process, it's just a beautiful family of just how we love one another. And as we love one another, we want to honor one another, and we want to prefer one another. And so all about honor today. And as we come and we honor Christ, as we, just if you close your eyes, just I want to just ask if there's anybody here that, just needs to honor Christ in their life. And that you might have walked into this place and you've heard the prophetic words earlier, you've been in the worship, and you've wondered, like, my life doesn't honor Christ. My life doesn't line up with Christ likeness. And the first step that you need to make is to just to honor him and to give your life to him and just to lay down your life and serve him. And he will come alongside you and draw near to you as you give yourself to him. And so if there's anybody here tonight that has walked into this place and this thing that we're talking about, honor and preference and loving one another, you need to join the family, and you need to join the family of Christ before you can enter into this family as well. And just if that's you, just maybe just indicate that you need to make right with the Lord and just come into his kingdom and just honor him as your maker, as your creator, as the person that actually just loves us and has made a way for us, has died for us, and dealt with sin so that we can actually come into right standing with him and just enjoy a life of abundance and a life in the Spirit.